You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war, people who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a city shining on a hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, hello, everybody. We're happy to have you listening to the Americans for Truth Hour. Americans for Truth is a single-issue organization dedicated to opposing the powerful homosexual, bisexual, transgender movement, which seems to be ubiquitous these days. You can't turn on the TV, open a newspaper, anything. You do. It seems the so-called gay movement is there pushing its agenda, and it really gets obnoxious, which is why we're here. And tonight I'm very excited to be interviewing one of my heroes, a person I was lucky to work under. His name is Bob Knight, Robert Knight. Bob, I worked with Bob at the Family Research Council. I worked with him at Concerned Women for America. And Bob is one of the world's leading experts on the homosexual movement. He's also a great guy. He's one of the good guys, in Washington. And, Bob, welcome to the Americans for Truth Hour.
Peter, that's effusive praise, but thank you very much.
Well, you deserve it, Bob, and it really was a privilege to work under you in Washington, D.C. Now I'm in Chicago. Our show is based on WYLL, Christian Talk, outside Chicago, and you are still in D.C. Tell us where you're working now.
Well, I'm able to work at home, which is a great blessing to me. I worked for years commuting to downtown D.C., to the same office you worked in over at the Culture and Family Institute at Concerned Women for America. And then I worked for two and a half years at the Media Research Center in Alexandria, Virginia, under Brent Bozell. And then I left Media Research Center in December 2008 and became a senior fellow at the American Civil Rights Union and a senior writer and correspondent for Coral Ridge Ministries, which is my main occupation. And Coral Ridge is D. James Kennedy's media ministry. The late D. James Kennedy founded it years ago, and it broadcasts the Coral Ridge Hour to this day, and Truths That Transform. And it's a very active Christian media ministry that's actually growing. We're trying to build on Dr. Kennedy's legacy. And you can find more about Coral Ridge at coralridge.org.
And Bob, D. James Kennedy was a stellar example of how a Christian should engage in the public policy arena and also witness Christ. And it doesn't have to be mutually exclusive, right?
No, he was a champion of the idea that if you're a dedicated Christian, you don't bar off any part of the world. Christ said to carry his message in all corners of the earth, and certainly the political world is part of it. And so he ran up against a lot of dissent from Christians who wanted to just put themselves away in a hermetically sealed, happy package of Christianity that didn't really have an effect on the culture. But Kennedy, D. James Kennedy, took it on directly. He did specials on the ACLU and their evil influence, and just the homosexual activist movement, the abortion movement, pornography movement. I mean, he went after it all, and he did it in a graceful, well-documented way. Nothing sloppy. I always appreciated Coral Ridge's work, even years before I ended up working for them.
Well, and Bob, I appreciate it as well. D. James Kennedy did things with excellence, which I think Christians are called to do, and that's what I've also appreciated about your work. What you taught me is, you know, you have to have the facts. You have to have things documented, and my 11th commandment regarding the homosexual issue is never exaggerate the gay agenda. I mean, there's certainly enough there. You don't need to exaggerate it.
Yeah, that's true. Just talking about the reality of it sounds so radical to most people's ears that there's no need to embellish. If you just give them the facts that the media will not do, which has been the case for years, people have a different view of it. They say, you know, what looked like a movement aimed at just expanding civil rights and tolerance really is a huge power play, forcing a completely different set of values, immoral values actually, on the American people, using the power of law, power of corporations, the power of the media and the entertainment industry. It's a juggernaut. And if you don't stop and think of what they're really asking us to do, which is to celebrate something God says is sinful and destructive, you can get carried away with it and go, well, what the heck? Who cares what they do, and why shouldn't we okay it? Well, it for many reasons. Number one, God says it's wrong. Number two, it harms people. It's very bad for them. It's documented remarkably well in the medical journals and even on the gay health websites. They acknowledge they have many more health problems stemming from the behavior and the lifestyle. And finally, it's a false civil rights issue. It's not like skin color or ethnicity, because people can change. You may not ask to have homosexual desires if you're suffering from that, but you certainly have the opportunity to either cultivate those desires and act out, or to resist them. And we're called to resist sin, which is behavior that God says is wrong and bad for us.
Yeah, and Bob, we've both said it many times. You can never find an ex-African American or an ex-Hispanic, but we both had the privilege of getting to know many, many former homosexuals.
Oh yeah, I'm on the board of PFOX, which is Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays, an organization based in Arlington, Virginia, and one of our board members is Christopher Doyle, who came out of the lifestyle. Another one is Greg Quinlan, a courageous man who came out of the homosexual lifestyle and has taken on gay activists in Ohio and New Jersey. And then you have other people on the board who have a personal interest because they know someone very close to them who's gay, or who's ex-gay. And the whole message of PFOX is don't burn your bridge to your loved one. Love them the way God would have you love them. Don't reject them, but don't embrace the behavior. That's the false choice a lot of parents are being given by PFLAG, Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, who say that if you really love your child or your brother or whoever's in the lifestyle, you must celebrate their behavior choices, even if it's bad for them. And if you don't, you're a bigot and you hate them. That's the message they've been proclaiming for years, and PFOX was formed partly to counter that message.
It's false compassion, isn't it, Bob?
Yeah, that's a good description, Peter, false compassion. A lot of people fall prey to that because of our culture. The tolerance has been raised as the ultimate value, except for tolerance of traditional values, and certainly biblical values regarding human sexuality.
And Bob, you know, more and more we're seeing it presented in the media and in the popular culture as if there is no other side to the homosexual lobby. Tell us about that. I mean, you've been at this, as I have, for, gosh, I think 2 decades at least, fighting this agenda, and the media coverage just gets worse and worse.
A lot of journalists have decided that there is not another side. It'd be like defending slavery or Jim Crow laws to even air reasonable opposition, reasonable criticism, or even questions about the assertions they put forward. They're so convinced that this is the cutting edge of the civil rights movement that they missed years ago, the real civil rights movement, that they have bought into it hook, line, and sinker. And, of course, there are two other things going on. One is the whole liberal mindset that the only sin is intolerance of some kind. And the other is the lobby within the media profession, led by GLSEN, led by the Gay and Lesbian Journalists Association. And you've got a lot to say about that, Peter, because you've actually attended their conventions.
Yeah, I mean, few people realize that there's a professional organization made up of homosexual journalists, and many of these journalists, of course, take on the role of advocate or activist within the news business.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, they don't even have to be advocates to have an impact in the newsroom. When I was a news editor at the Los Angeles Times, we had a couple gay writers, and they were nice guys. I liked them, and I edited their stuff, and we were friends. And just because of their very presence, people would not give balanced coverage of the gay rights struggle because they didn't want to offend Frank over there or Fred. So they have veto power, basically, in the newsrooms. And that's another reason you're not getting the straight stuff on this issue. And people who have pro-family values are consistently portrayed badly, taken out of context, their worst images portrayed. And I think nothing illustrates that better than the outsized press that Fred Phelps has enjoyed over the years. He's mm-hmm. the nutcase from Kansas.
He holds the God funeral. Hates fags sign.
Yep.
God hates fags. What a message, boy.
Yeah, and God hates America, and God hates soldiers, and he pickets the funerals of these poor families burying their sons and daughters who died overseas for us, and saying that they supported a fag-loving nation. And, of course, the media love this because they say, well, there's your Christian spokesman. There's
right.
your hate coming out. And it's a,
can I say something on that, Bob?
Sure.
You received letters from the Phelps clan years ago. I was there. And isn't it true that Fred Phelps has sort of denied a key part of the gospel? He says he never met a redeemed homosexual. I mean, we've been in the business 20 years, as long as he has. We're not in the same business, of course. He really is in the hate business if he denies the gospel that the Lord can take people out of homosexuality.
As the Lord does with any sin. I mean, he sets it apart. He makes the same error that the homosexual activists make, which is to say that it's a special case deserving exemption from the laws that everything else governs in terms of human behavior. He's saying, no, these people can't change. And I think you tried to question him on a radio program, didn't you?
I think I've forgotten more than I know about the homosexual issue now, Bob, but we've got a break coming up. We're talking to Bob Knight, and I want to talk about his books that he's written for the Coral Ridge Ministries. You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour. Our website is americansfortruth.org. That's Americans for Truth. We'll be right back with Robert Knight of the Coral Ridge Ministries in a couple seconds here. Everybody, you're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Peter LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth. Americans for Truth is a single-issue organization dedicated to opposing the powerful and well-funded homosexual activist lobby. We've got some important issues to talk about. I'm interviewing my former boss, Robert Knight, who is the senior writer and Washington correspondent for Coral Ridge Ministries. Bob is also a hero in the culture war, and I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that if Americans had the chance to hear Bob Knight explain why the homosexual activist agenda is wrong and dangerous and even threatens our freedom, I think we wouldn't be in the trouble we are today with this agenda. Bob has also written several books. He wrote Age of Consent a number of years ago, which is a wonderful book, and he's written three books for Coral Ridge Ministries, and I'd like to just tick those off. His new one, it's just out, is Radical Rulers. Radical Rulers is about all the left-wing loony czars under the Obama administration. I haven't read it yet, but it is getting rave reviews. It's available at radicalrulers.com. Is that right, Bob?
That's right. You can go there and you can see the first chapter, see some thumbnail sketches of Obama's czars, and even some video interviews about the book.
Okay, so that's Radical Rulers, and it's available at radicalrulers.com. Bob has also written Fighting for America's Future.
Soul.
Okay. Well, I guess also the future, right? But it's fighting for America's soul. And another one is The Silencers, which is about liberal media censorship. Those other two books are available at coralridge.org. And Bob, is Radical Rulers also available at the Coral Ridge website?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So if you want to get Bob's books, and these are not large books, right? These are easy to read and they're very informative, right, Bob?
Well, I made them very accessible. I document everything. There are literally hundreds of footnotes, but they're written in a, if I do say so, a breezy, right-to-the-point journalistic style, because people don't have time anymore to read big, thick tomes that take too long to make a point. So I get right to the point in all these three books. They're all under 200 pages.
Excellent. And Age of Consent, is that available through, Amazon?
Probably Amazon, yeah. Spence Publishing put it out. The last revised edition was in 2000, and I got a tiny royalty check from Spence Publishing a few weeks ago, so I guess they're still selling a few of those.
Yeah. One of the biggest jokes, I think, is when the gay lobby says that we're getting rich off homophobia.
Oh.
Yeah, we're getting rich, all right. Our group's budgets are pale in comparison to the massive budgets of some of the large organizations that we oppose. For example, the Human Rights Campaign. I believe in 2008, Joe Salmanese, who's the president of the Human Rights Campaign, which is the premier pro-homosexual lobby group, I think he was making something like $330,000 a year, Bob.
Well, yeah, something like that. And yeah, let's talk about these budgets. At one point, the combined budgets of the top gay pressure groups were about $100 million. I think Human Rights Campaign has about $30 million, something like that. You got GLSEN, the gay teachers group, at $5.5 million. You've got the GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, had a budget of $3.5 million so they could influence all scripts written in Hollywood. I mean, they are, you know, they cry out as victims, and they're poor oppressed, and they have enormous outsized influence for their very few numbers in this society.
Yeah, and I want to talk to you about GLAAD for one second, Bob, because I think it ties in with your role at PFOX, which is Parents and Friends of Gays and Ex-Gays. It's a great group for anybody who's got a homosexual relative, and their website is pfox.org. Bob, I just happened upon a GLAAD email. GLAAD is the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. I believe their executive director I don't think he's hit 300,000 yet, Bobby. He needs to get a raise. I think he's making around 270,000. At least he was in 2008. Anyways, GLAAD put out a news release, and recently, one of your guys at PFOX, Richard Cohen, who is an ex-gay psychotherapist, he's helped many, many people leave the homosexual lifestyle. He was featured on CNN opposite somebody from the other side. Now, you would think that would be what media is supposed to be. You've got the pro-gay side, and you've got the side of somebody who's opposed to homosexuality. In Richard's case, he's an ex-gay. He came out of the homosexual lifestyle. Well, GLAAD not only protested the appearance by Richard Cohen, the ex-gay, they urged people to write CNN and not have people like Richard Cohen on the media. So these pressure groups are demanding a total censorship of our side, right?
Yeah, in the name of tolerance, they're resorting to fascistic tactics, saying, you know, we must silence the other side. You know, the left has been trying to do that for years, and actually has done it more successfully on this issue, I believe, than any other issue in American life. Even the life issue, even the abortion issue, has had some semblance of balance. The facts are getting out. Americans have been turning pro-life because more facts have come out that this really is a child we're talking about.
But a troubling fact is that surveys show that young people are more pro-gay and yet more pro-life at the same time. Why is this issue so special, Bob? Why is the bias worse on this issue than any other?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. One, it's the effectiveness of the homosexual lobby and the strategy that they have pursued over the years. And you may have talked about this already, Peter, but it bears repeating, and that the manual, After the Ball, by Marshall Kirk and Hunter Madsen, published in 1989.
Go ahead and describe that, Bob. We've not even mentioned that, I think, on the air yet.
Well, people need to know about this book because it's being played out before our very eyes. It was written in 89 by two public relations experts from Harvard, and they first wrote an article called Overhauling Straight America for a homosexual publication called The Guide. Then they expanded it into a book, and the book is a masterpiece of propaganda. They even use that term, saying we will use propaganda to desensitize and jam people into accepting our point of view. They have sample ads. They say that what you need to do is make homo-hating churches into the backwaters of American life, make them out to be bigoted, Nazi-like institutions. They recommend techniques such as bracketing, where you show a beady-eyed preacher railing against homosexuals, and then run some footage of some poor gay guy being beaten up, and then run some footage of Ku Klux Klansmen marching, or Nazis, and then back to the pastor. And the bracketing technique it's guilt by association. It's like saying, this is all the same thing, folks, it's all hate. And you do that enough, and the media does that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not as obvious as I've just described, but they do it constantly. They're doing it to the Tea Parties today,
yeah,
trying to make out the Tea Party members as crazed right-wing Nazi-like bigots and homophobes.
It works, Bob. I mean, Americans for Truth just got labeled a hate site by the Southern Poverty Law Center. And it's astonishing, you know, that now we're going to be referred to by all the liberal organs and the liberal websites as a hate group.
Yeah, the Southern Poverty Law Center is a hate group. It has taken traditional value Christian institutions and placed them right alongside white power groups, Nazi groups, without blinking an eye. This is smearing by association, and it's and in terms of the homosexual issue, they do it better than anyone. And after the ball tells them exactly how to do it in great detail. They also, after the ball also says a couple other things, never let people in on what we actually do. Never talk about our behavior. Americans will never accept it as normal. But if you keep talking about the abstract civil rights and tolerance and keep talking, that's the important thing. Just keep talking about it. Put it in their face constantly until they shrug their shoulders and say it's just another thing.
Yeah.
In other words, they're beating people down with it by sheer volume. And the media are the main reason they've succeeded. You asked, how could they be this powerful? Well, I think the media have bought their idea and jammed it down America's throat. And they have consistently suppressed opposition. They've certainly shielded Americans from the facts. And they've made it a litmus test for being a good person. You must be pro-gay to be a good person.
Yeah, and they've changed the definition of tolerance. Tolerance used to be we could disagree, but we would tolerate each other's viewpoints. Now,
right.
Certain viewpoints, including opposing homosexuality, in the liberals' mind, are simply intolerant.
Yeah, they've made it beyond the pale. And I remember when Tom Wolfe, the great author, wrote about anti-communism back in the 60s and 70s, and he said what happened was that in the elite circles at cocktail parties in Manhattan, you would find that it was not a matter of disagreement about being anti-communist, because these liberals were real soft on communism. It was that it was a breach of etiquette to say anything anti-communist. It was just, it would stop a dinner party cold if you'd be that crass as to actually say something critical of the Soviet Union or Cuba and be anti-communist. And I think that's what's happened today. It's now you cannot say anything that will cast any doubt on all the claims of the gay rights movement, or suddenly people will turn and say, oh my gosh, you're one of those. You're a hate-filled bigot. They've really done their job well, but, you know, here's the reason I'm optimistic, Peter, is you can't fool nature forever. God will not be mocked. The human body is not made for this kind of thing, and the results are quite clear and are tragic. So how long can they keep up this house of cards? You know, they science is not on their side, biology is not on their side, theology is certainly not on their side, common sense is not on their side. Jerry Seinfeld summed it up when he said, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that, after saying something about, you know, homosexuality. In
right.
other words, oh, hi, we know this is weird, we know it's wrong, but we're forced to say, hey, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, it's a big con game. Briefly, we've got 45 seconds to break, Bob. Describe what jamming is. That's one of the tactics in After the Ball.
Jamming is to make a person feel ashamed for having certain views and emotions regarding an issue. And the homosexual activists have jammed the American public by actually making them feel like they're helping out with the beating of gays if they even oppose the gay rights agenda. First you desensitize and then you jam. And we've seen even this jamming among conservative commentators who don't dare take on this issue.
Let's go. Yeah, let's go.
Being called mean.
We'll come back to that. We're talking to Robert Knight of Coral Ridge Ministries. We'll be right back on the Americans for Truth Hour. Everybody, you're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour on WYLL, Chicago's Christian Talk. I'm Peter LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth. Our website is Americans for Truth, all written out, americansfortruth.org. And I'm very happy to be interviewing my former boss and one of my personal heroes. And I don't say that lightly. I think Bob Knight is a national treasure. More people would know about him if he wasn't so committed to telling the truth about very politically incorrect incorrect subjects. As most people know, if you oppose homosexuality, you don't get invited to all those cocktail parties in Washington, D.C. Right, Bob?
Well, it's true. I've decided to, as you say, try to tell the truth about these issues. And this is the one issue that will get you cast out of polite company. And even in conservative circles, if you notice, the top talk show hosts in the country never touch this issue.
Well, not only do they not always touch it, Bob, but people like Mike Gallagher, who's one of the top 10 conservative radio hosts, he calls himself the happy conservative. Gallagher has backed off and switched. He now supports gay rights, except homosexual marriage. I think that's the only thing he's solid on anymore.
Yeah,
why are we losing the conservatives? What's happened?
Well, a lot of them have gay staff members. They have gay producers. They know that if they say something critical, they will be singled out and made an example of. The fascistic tactics of the gay left have been extremely successful in penetrating the right. And that's why you don't see people like Rush Limbaugh or Mark Levin or Laura Ingraham take on these issues, even though they're on the front page of the newspaper every day. You can't pick up a newspaper without seeing the latest gay advance or some outrage at a school or whatever. They should be talking about it, but
right.
They don't dare. Because if one of them raises his or her head up, then they get hammered and mau-mau'd by the gay left, which has compliant megaphones in the mainstream media.
Well, let's talk about some examples. Dr. Laura, that was a number of years ago, and they went after her. Tell us what happened.
Well, I think Dr. Laura is one of the main reasons why no one dares touch the issue, because she had been kind of pro-gay earlier, and then she discovered her Jewish roots and returned to Orthodox Judaism and looked at the world differently, and she finally found out about the ex-gay movement, and she began talking about it, saying, you know, this isn't normal. People can change, and the world caved in on her. She had premiered a TV show based on her radio program, and the gay activists, led by John Aravosis, who's one of the most, let's just say he's very aggressive, gay activists, led a charge against her sponsors and got her show canceled before it ran more than two or three times. Dr. Laura retreated and wouldn't talk about the issue anymore.
And she took out two full-page ads in a Hollywood magazine, didn't she? Variety, apologizing to the homosexual community.
Well, I think she, the apology was crafted, so she didn't really take back what she'd said. But it was a retreat.
Well, when you apologize to the bullies, that's not sending a good message, is it?
No, it's not. And I had defended Dr. Laura on some national TV shows, including Hannity and Combs. And she'd sent me a bouquet of flowers thanking her. And we hosted her at Family Research Council. And we thought, you know, this woman is strong enough to withstand what's coming. But apparently, you know, I don't know what kind of advice she got from her station sponsors or whatever, but she backed off, and she really hasn't taken on the issue ever since. And I think that was an object lesson that the gays used to remind all talk show hosts that this will happen to you if you step out of line.
Right.
This is how fascistic it's gotten, and somebody needs to talk about it, just the fascistic censorship tactics of the gay left and how they've shut down reasonable, responsible voices throughout the spectrum.
Yeah, and you don't hesitate in saying fascistic, and you're right, Bob, when you're trying to shut down speech, rather than letting the full debate bloom, you're showing that you fear something. They fear discussion of former homosexuals, because the former homosexuals, if people knew about that, it cuts the foundation right out from under the homosexual movement.
Oh, yeah, and one of the best books ever written on this whole topic, and I recommend it highly, it's Homosexuality and the Politics of Truth by Dr. Jeffrey Satinover, who is probably the most credentialed person on the conservative side talking about this issue. He has degrees from MIT and Harvard. He teaches now at Princeton. He's got a PhD from the University of Texas, got a medical degree. And he's a psychiatrist, and he writes very clearly. And he talks about surveys that showed that People who believe that people are born homosexual and can't change are far more likely to favor the liberal gay agenda in politics, because they do equate it with skin color or ethnicity. But the facts aren't there. The alleged studies that purport to show a genetic basis for homosexuality have either been disproven or not replicated. Even the American Psychiatric Association had to issue a statement a couple years ago saying, to this point, there has been no reliable scientific evidence showing there is a genetic cause for homosexuality and that it's more complex than that. Now, one thing that Fatnover said I thought was fascinating was, hey, if there's any genetic component at all, it would be that some people are born with personalities that are vulnerable to the environmental pressures that tend to produce homosexual inclinations. In other words, you'd have a boy who's very artistic, you know, not physical, doesn't roughhouse with the other boys, tends to identify with mom more, and then there are a whole series of events that may turn him toward exploring homosexuality. But he wasn't born gay. He doesn't have any gay gene. He's just vulnerable to circumstances that could produce homosexual desires.
Well, Bob, we have so much to discuss, and we are going to do a second part of this interview. Bob is just too good. We can't just do one show with Bob Knight of Coral Ridge Ministries. But before we get to the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which is a federal bill which is going to, if it was passed, it would federalize so-called homosexual rights, I want you to talk about, you had mentioned After the Ball, which is a book written by two homosexual marketing professionals. One is now deceased, I believe. You mentioned this book, and you talked about bracketing, jamming. What about desensitization and this whole intimidation tactic that you described that worked with people like Dr. Laura?
Well, here are some quotes. I'm looking at the book right now, and it says the third principle is a recipe for desensitizing ambivalent skeptics. That is, for helping straights view homosexuality with neutrality rather than keen hostility. At the outset, at least, we seek desensitization and nothing more. You can forget about trying right up front to persuade folks that homosexuality is a good thing, but if you can get them to think it is just another thing, meriting no more than a shrug of the shoulders, then your battle for legal and social rights is virtually won. And they go on to say the fastest way to convince straights that homosexuality is commonplace is to get a lot of people talking about the subject in a neutral or supportive way. The main thing is to talk about gayness until the issue becomes thoroughly tiresome. Now, TV has played a huge role here.
Yeah.
Because you see gay characters constantly on television, as many as 25 characters, recurring characters in a regular season. They're all over. And then you have things like...
Oh, can I interrupt there, Bob?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you know, Will and Grace was the big one, but there were others before that. But now we're talking about, I can't believe it, this show Family, I think it's on ABC, where they have two men raising an adopted baby?
Yeah.
So they're bringing in gay parenting and making it seem, oh, this is just like another family, this is normal. It's really insidious.
Yeah, it's... They know that if they just pour a torrent of pro-gay imagery, characters, and storylines over the American public, that they'll get the results they want. At the least, they get neutrality. I think they're correct in thinking that Americans will never think it's a good thing, and that's biblical. Deep down in our hearts, we know what's right and wrong. We're told that in the Bible. We're told that in Romans, first book of Romans, chapter 1, that there is no excuse. God's law is written on every human heart. That's in elsewhere in Romans. So I think people, as much as they know better, still go along with it out of fear and also out of some good intentions. They want to show people caught up in homosexuality that they don't hate them, that they love them. You know, some of this is naturally driven by good intentions, but it's what you said, Peter, false compassion. It's you don't help someone continue in bad behavior and call it compassion. If you have a friend who's caught up in a drinking problem, you don't say, well, gee, I better advocate abuse of alcohol, otherwise I'll hate that person. And yet that's what we're being asked to do. To celebrate homosexuality, or we're opening ourselves up to accusation of hatred toward these people. And it's thoroughly absurd, but it is working.
Yeah, and now they repeat over and over again, oh, you're a hater, and they know that it catches on. Bob, we got a minute before the break. What's the antidote when you've got this tremendous overarching media bias, which is everywhere? We still have the truth. How do we get the truth out?
Well, the good news is the alternative media, like this radio program, like the Internet, and other talk radio, is getting the truth out. I think the media monopoly is being broken up before our very eyes. Fox News Channel has broken the monopoly of the three major TV networks. The Internet has broken the old networks and newspaper monopolies as well. So I think that more voices are being heard. The trouble is, the old media is still very powerful, as Media Research Center documents week after week. Look what they did to Sarah Palin.
Yes.
Made her out to be a caricature by combining footage of Tina Fey from Saturday Night Live with Sarah Palin and interchanging them even on news programs.
Yes.
Evening and morning news programs. We did a study when I was at Culture and Media.
Oh, we'll have to come back on that, Bob. But we're talking with Robert Knight. We've got one more segment in part one of our interview. This is the Americans for Truth Hour, AmericansForTruth.org. We'll be back in a minute. Everybody, you're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour on WYLL, Chicago's Christian Talk. I'm Peter LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth about Homosexuality, and our name describes what we do. We're trying to answer all the misinformation and lies put out by both the pro-homosexual groups and also the media and popular culture. Many lies and misinformation spread about gayness, homosexuality, and we are a group that believes people can change. We don't hate homosexuals. We love them enough to tell them the truth that you can leave the lifestyle. We're talking in part one of an interview with Robert Knight, who is my former boss at Family Research Council and Concerned Women for America. I worked under Bob at both organizations. And Bob is also probably the best explainer that there is about the homosexual agenda. He knows all the tricks that the other side uses, and we've been talking about some of the propaganda tactics. But Bob, we face some very serious legislation coming down the pike here. It's called ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act of 2010. The numbers are on the House side, 3017. That's 3017. On the Senate side, I believe it's 1584. It's called the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, and that's very nice sounding, Bob. But what will this legislation actually do?
This bill has been around since 1994. And I actually testified against it at a Senate hearing that Ted Kennedy conducted at that time. I was sitting next to Hi Feldblum, and she's credited as the primary author of ENDA. And ENDA, in a nutshell, raises sexual orientation and gender identity to the level of civil rights protections guaranteed by the federal government in the workplace, such as race, ethnicity, sex. This is very dangerous because what it's doing, we would do for the first time, is put the federal government on record as favoring sexual behaviors over traditional values regarding morality. See, here's why it's different from race and ethnicity. Those are things you can't change. You're born with them, or you're born in a certain place. You can't change them. Another protected characteristic is religion, but that's specifically protected in the First Amendment of the Constitution. There's no such protection in the Constitution for sexual behavior. The Supreme Court has read into the privacy emanations from Roe v. Wade and on into the Lawrence decision overturning sodomy laws, this right to sodomy somehow. But that's a far cry from skin color or ethnicity. Now, ENDA would say, well, if you are a traditionalist who feels that homosexuality is wrong, we are taking your beliefs and turning them into a form of bigotry actionable under the law. So if you don't treat homosexuality like you do skin color or ethnicity, that is completely neutral or even preferred, we're coming after you. And we've seen this in California on a state level, where employers were told if they didn't support homosexuality by providing domestic partner benefits, for instance, they couldn't contract with a state government. That law is on the books today. So it's telling devout Christian and Jewish and even Muslim employers, if you feel that your workplace is a gift from God and you're a steward over it and you owe God your allegiance, we're going to force you to choose between God and Caesar. That's what's so unsettling and so dangerous about ENDA. It's telling people that if you live out your beliefs, the government will be coming after you.
Right. And, Bob, it's not just homosexuality either. This would federalize so-called gender identity rights, and I want you to comment on this definition of gender identity, which I'm reading from the bill. Gender identity in ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. The term gender identity means the gender-related identity, appearance, or mannerisms, or other gender-related characteristics of an individual with or without regard to the individual's designated sex at birth. So are we talking about so-called rights based on gender confusion? Are we talking about men having the right to go to the female restroom at his place of work?
Well, you bet we are, and we're also talking about things like male school bus drivers coming to work in a dress right in front of the kids, and the law saying you can't say a thing about it, or you'll be hauled into court. That happened in Pennsylvania, by the way, already under Pennsylvania's non-discrimination laws. ENDA would federalize some very bad state laws out there. They're already leading to absurdities like transgendered men insisting on using the restroom. So it is dangerous, and you know, the other side and the media will say, oh, well, you know, that's absurd, that'll never happen, or you're bringing up worst-case scenarios, and yet these scenarios keep arising where jurisdictions have sexual orientation and gender identity classifications in their laws. In Maine, they're having a wealth of this with middle school kids insisting they're coming to school in dresses, and boys, that is, using the girls' restroom and the law backing them.
Yes. There are plenty of examples now, and the reality is people don't get fired for being homosexual. That rarely happens. What's happening is people like Matt Barber, who's on the board at Americans for Truth, he got fired for opposing homosexuality online in his private time. He was fired by Allstate for that. So people are being fired for adhering to their traditional mores. And I think of the New Mexico Christian photographer who was approached by a lesbian couple. They said, we want you to take pictures at our wedding. And she said, no, I only shoot traditional weddings. And she referred them to somebody who would shoot their wedding. And she got sued, and she lost.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a classic sting operation, too, Peter. I read the court proceedings just the other day. And what happened was the lesbian called up and said, you know, we want to do a civil commitment ceremony. Will you shoot it? And the woman said, well, we're a Christian outfit. We can't do that, but we can recommend other photographers who are good. And then a few days later, the woman's partner called up and pretended to be setting up an actual marriage, saying, you know, will you shoot my wedding? And they said, well, of course, and here are the prices. A few weeks later, a complaint was filed with the New Mexico Human Rights Commission charging them with bigotry and discrimination. And the couple said, well, you know, we're Christians, and we can't be part of this. We can't advocate using our business to validate what the Bible tells us is wrong. And the commission ruled against them and ordered them to pay the legal fees of the two lesbians.
Now, that case is on appeal.
That case is on appeal.
But it's shocking.
It's a religious freedom case. But, you know, who wants to bring that kind of trouble? The idea is to intimidate other employers into wanting to avoid legal implications like this.
They're all going to fear a lot.
Turns out they've made their point.
The chilling effect of fearing such things, fearing a lawsuit, it will silence a lot of people. It will stop a lot of people from living out their beliefs alone, right?
Well, this is how the ACLU has worked over the years. They send warning letters to businesses and schools, warning them to accept whatever the left-wing activism is, and basically saying, we're going to bankrupt you with legal fees if you don't just go along with it, and you better believe we'll do this. Case in point would be VMI, Virginia Military Institute, where the ACLU came in, backed the idea of opening it to women, even though they had a long tradition of men only. And when the Actually, it was the Citadel. I'm sorry, VMI. They won the case. VMI did. The Citadel was told when they lost the case to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees to the ACLU. It's a shakedown operation. Yeah. They've been doing it, and the ACLU, I consider a gay rights organization.
They have a very large pro-homosexual arm, Bob, and we're going to have to talk about that in part two of our interview with Robert Knight of Coral Ridge Ministries. Bob, just wonderful information. Thank you. We'll be talking to you again next week. Bob is the author of Radical Rulers and other books for Coral Ridge Ministries. You can get those at coralridge.org. You can learn more about Americans for Truth at americansfortruth.org. Americans for Truth. Send us an email. Sign up for our e-list. We'll be talking to Robert Knight next week, same time, at the Americans for Truth Hour. Bob, thank you.
Hey, thank you, Peter. It's an honor to be on your program.
The Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.